Lord have mercy. If you got your Bible, go to 2 Samuel chapter number 21. It is good to be out in the God's house. Sense that presence of the Holy Ghost of God. His will. Some of you might be, I'm a little nervous. I didn't think folks shouted on Sunday morning. I thought it was the dignified service. Well, sorry. If you're saved, you can shout Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Welcome. Yeah, man, I got something. It's real, son. It's real. We're real.
Amen.
Yeah. And some of you first time attenders don't get a culture shot. Just take an aspirin. It'll be all right. Say amen. It's good to have you today. Welcome. 2 Samuel 21. I know where I'm going. You pray as hard as you can for me this morning. I need the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 21, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Great. The Bible said, then there was a famine in the days of David. 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. Now the Lord, there was a famine. And David wanted to know why. Hear what it says. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. See, let me say something to you about Saul. Saul, all he wanted to do was to please the people. There's still a crowd like that. By the way, I want you to look me right in my eyeball. It was a happy day in my life when the one that I really wanted to please most is Jesus. I want to please you, but I'll be quite honest with you. I am wanting to please him more than I'm wanting to please you. Somebody say amen. And Saul done all this mischief after zeal. By the way, there's some people operating with zeal but no knowledge. Good preaching, Reverend. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the raiment of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, now notice, he's wanting to get it right with them after what Saul did to them. What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make, well, glory, the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say that I will do for you? And they answered of the king, boy, I'm about to get happy, the man that consumed us, that's Saul, and devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, listen to this. Let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. Look at verse 7. This might want to bring you out of your seat. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul. You'll notice some things. Armanah and Mephibosheth, the 5 sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up from Adriel, the son of Barzilla, the Mahophite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. And they hanged him in the hill before the Lord. What tremendous passage of Scripture. I want you to notice a name in verse number 7. His name is Mephibosheth. For you Bible students, he's mentioned in the Bible 5 times. By the way, the Bible even says that when he was of the age of 5, he fell because the nurse dropped him. He had a fall. Let me say it again. He had a fall when he was 5 years old. Somebody, you might know this. If you don't, you'll get some happy bumps. 5 is the number of grace in the Bible. I'm glad when I was crippled. I was like Mephibosheth living down in the Lodabar, a place of no bread. Amen. That the king sent a scripture and sent for me and sent his servant. You said, what's the scripture? God's word. Who's the servant? The Holy Ghost. I'm glad you got it. And he fetched him out of Lodabar and said, I'm going to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake and bring him to my table. Are y'all with me? I'm going somewhere. I want to say this about Mephibosheth. A lot of you may not know all his background. He was a faithful servant. You remember when Saul or David got run out of the kingdom? And Absalom took his place for a short season? There's one little boy, a little crippled boy, who sat at his table. He was faithful, the Bible said. Hey, I want to say something. I just might as well just hit this right. I've been wanting to hit this anyway. I tell you what we need less of. We need less of fireworks and more faithfulness. I'm not interested in how high you people fly. That's not really what I'm interested in. I'm interested in how you stay in the race. I know a lot of people fly high every once in a while, but they're not even in the race today. Somebody help me preach right there. I feel some preach coming on me. When you study this passage of Scripture, there's a problem in this passage of Scripture. I'm getting to where I'm going to preach in a minute. You stay with me. I'm starting to get some happiness in me. There was a problem here. Saul had a sin debt. Yeah. And it required a payment. But I want you to know something. Mephibosheth was free from that debt. Amen. I want to say to you, when the old death angel comes around John Smith, I want you to know something. I'm free from that debt. I'm not under the debt of Adam. I'm not under that. I'm not there anymore. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been changed. I'm a new creature. I got a God that there's not a man, not a woman, not a boy or girl in this room that my God can't deliver you. My God can't save you. My God can't take you from the Lodabar and bring you to his house. For a few minutes, I want to preach from this subject. Some things you've been set free from. Some things you've been set free from. In studying this Bible, first of all, Mephibosheth was set free from the curse. You said, what do you mean the curse? That was a curse on the line of Saul. Every one of them was going to get killed. Every person in that line was going to die. There was a famine there. And you know what it required? It required death. And the Bible said, and an atonement. You said, preacher, what atonement? The bloodline chased back to Saul. And the debt collector was coming to the house of Saul. And 7 of them was chosen. By the way, 7 is complete. But one of them was spared. And he was of the house of Saul. I could believe this, Brother Jared. I could just see it happening. Here come the debt collector to Mephibosheth, because he done heard he was of the house of Saul. You were of the house of Saul? No, sir. Well, you look like him. He said, yes, sir. I was in his lineage. You even act some like him. Yes, sir. I was in his lineage. I was directed this way because I was told you were of his house. Yes, sir. But something happened. I got adopted. You'll grab a hold of that man. I'm no longer of the house of Saul. I'm of the house of David. I'm no longer sitting at the table of Saul. I'm sitting at the table of David. I want y'all to know something, ladies and gentlemen. I used to be at the house of Saul. I used to be in the house of Adam. I had all Adam's judgment coming to me. But I ain't no longer under there. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm set free from the debt of sin. I'm a child of God. This thing of adoption means a lot to me. It touches home with me. Brother Stan mentioned it Wednesday night. I heard a story about a man and a woman. They had they couldn't have children. And so they prayed and God gave them a boy. But when they was getting the boy, mama got pregnant. Sometimes I know God has a sense of humor. So they had them two boys out in a shopping buggy. Now I know if you're from New York or up above West Virginia, it's a shopping cart, but down here it's a buggy. And they were in there, and this lady come up to her, knew her, said, "Send your two boys." She said, "Yeah, they're my boys." And here's what she said. "Well, they sure don't look alike." And the adopted boy said, "Well, it's because I've been adopted." And you know, he embarrassed the woman when she said that. And she kind of stepped back. He said, "Well, man, don't get upset. I may not have the face of the family, but I'm in the family." Y'all get that in a minute and you will shout it in a second. Somebody say amen right there, friend. You may have a different face, but I wanted you to know, every one of you that's a child of God, you're in the same family I am. You've been adopted. You were out in sin. You were an outcast. But now you're adopted. Now you're in the family. Now you're a child of God. Now you're worshiping at His feet. Somebody help me right there. I'm a child of the devil. Now I'm a child of God. I'm a child of unrighteousness. Now I'm a child of righteousness. I'm a child of wickedness. Now I'm a child of the Son. Somebody say amen. Whew. I was an heir of the curse. Now I've been changed. Why? I've been adopted. That ain't all here. Look at verse number 4:8. Stay with me, boy. This is getting better, gooder, tweeter, tweeter. Not only was he free from the curse, boy, Timmy, he is free from the cross. Look at verse 3. You say, "I don't see no cross there." Lois, do you see a cross there? See if you see a cross here, Lois. When David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make what? The atonement." I'm starting to see a cross there. You said, "What is an atonement?" It's a covering payment. Listen, y'all with me? And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold." We ain't want no silver gold. We want blood. It's going to take death. Neither. For us shalt thou kill any man of Israel. We don't want none of Israel. Y'all still with me? What shall we say? Look at verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth. Look at verse number 8. They took 7 sons of Saul, 7 descendants. You know what the Bible said? Listen to this. And they delivered them to the Gibeonites. Joe, I'm about to get happy. The Bible said when Pilate was getting ready to release Barabbas, the crowd wanted Barabbas. They said, what shall we do unto this man called Jesus? And they said, crucify him. And the Bible says this, and Pilate delivered Jesus unto them. Same word. I think I see a cross here. Whew. These 7 sons of Saul were going to pay the price for their own sin. But Mephibosheth was spared. Now I want you all to look in your Bible. We've been having a little Bible study in our church this week. Hey, Jeff, I didn't know this till I read this through about 4 times. John Smith used to think there's only one Mephibosheth. Jeff, you only heard about one. But take a look down there, Jeff. They wasn't one Mephibosheth. They was 2. Am I right? Church, you're looking at, how many of y'all looking at your Bible? How many were there? One was spared. Look at the name of the 7. One of them was called Mephibosheth. How many of y'all with me? Y'all still with me? See, here's the fact. One of them was going to go to a cross, and one of them was under a covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to just say there ain't much difference between me and any of you in this room. You either going to pay for your sin, or your sin's been paid for. You're either one kind of Mephibosheth. You're a Mephibosheth whose sin's been paid for, or you're a Mephibosheth who's going to pay for your own sins. And the only difference is a blood covenant. The only difference is a covenant. Somebody help me. The only difference is a covenant. You say, why a covenant? Where did that covenant come from? How many want to know where the covenant come from? I'm glad you do. There's a time David met up with Jonathan. Come on, Jonathan. And I'll just put a few words here in. They get ready to depart. They loved each other. The Bible said their soul was knitted. By the way, that God the Father and God the Son are knitted. And they had a bond. And here's what happened. Jonathan was supposed to get the throne. But he said, David, you can have the bow and you can have the ring. And here's what they done. They got a lamb. They peeled the ears back and cut it and laid the ear here and the ear there. Took the front quarters and cut it, put the front quarter here and the front quarter there. Took the back quarters and cut it, put the back quarter there and put the back quarter there. Then they took the blood and they put it in between the two animals. Then they got each other by the hand. Lord God, I'm about to shout right here. They got each other by the hand and they walked in between the sacrifice over the blood. And what that was saying, Jonathan, I'm going to spare your offspring. Your house will not suffer judgment. Jonathan, for your sake, oh good God, Jonathan, for your sake, I'll save your household. Well, somebody hadn't shouted yet, but I'm going to shout for you. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Mephibosheth was a picture of the grace of God that found in Christ Jesus, my Lord. The seven sons were of Saul's lineage who had to die and pay for their own sin. But Mephibosheth's sin was paid for because of a covenant, because of an atonement, because of an agreement. God the Father agreed with God the Son that He would come and die for His bride. And I am of the bride of Christ. Somebody help me right there.
Amen.
You hear me out? You better look me right in the eye though. Every one of you better hear me. The price has got to be paid. You'll either pay for it or you'll accept what He done and His payment for it.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Look at me. I'm no better than anybody in this room. I may be going to heaven and some of you are going to hell. But it's not because I'm a good guy and not because of my good works. And it's not because of my baptism. It's because of what Christ done. It's because of what He done. On the old rugged cross, took them old seven boys, you see a cross? And took them out to a land far away, up on a hill, and hung all seven of them up on a hill. Number three, and I'm done. Y'all still with me? When you get saved, you're free from the curse. When you get saved, you're free from the cross. You don't have to pay for your sins. Number three, when you get saved, you're free from the coffin. Notice these verses in verse 9 and 10. Boy, it gets staggering here. They were hanged upon a tree. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. They died and paid the price for their own sin. I'm going to make a statement here. And I'm slowing down to make it. Hey, Jeff. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. The only way you're going is because you've been washed in the blood. Took them out on the tree and got them off there and they put them on a rock. Until harvest time. Mama Rizpah was out there with her five boys. You see it? You see it? They were dead. And they were rotten. And flies were all around them. And the buzzards were coming. And that mother. You know how long it was, Denny? To barley harvest. Study it out. 5 months. She sat out there on that rock for 5 months with those rotten kids that were rotting and their flesh was falling off of them. You said, what was she really saying? When they're put in the ground, I'll never see them again. You hear me, sinner? You die lost, you'll never see any goodness again. You'll never see heaven. You won't see your loved ones that are in heaven. You won't have any hope at all in your life. I'll be honest with you. I don't mind at all to preach a Christian funeral, though it hurts sometimes. Because I know where they're going. But I heard a story, a friend of mine told it, of a woman who died down in Georgia. And she died and she had one relative, her son. They found him. They brought him to the church house, set him on the front row. He's the only one to represent her. Hadn't seen her for years. She was a wicked woman. And he was sitting about where you are, Tim. Body laying there in front of her. Preacher preached his heart out. The man literally got up at the end of the service and walked over to the coffin and got his mom's body halfway out of the coffin, grabbed her by the neck and the arms. "Don't go, Mom! Please don't go! Don't leave, Mother! I need you!" It ain't going to be that way with Christians. We don't sorrow like people that had no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And there'll be a voice and a shout and a trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Do you hear me out? Say, unsaved person, you have no hope in the coffin. Well, you set free from. The only thing that's going to get John Smith is the sting. It's not going to get me. David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." The only thing that's going to touch John Smith's a shadow, because the stinger's been poured out by an atonement, by a covenant, by a covenant-keeping God who said, "I'll save whosoever we are." And that means you.